Now we're going to take a look at the end of the Olympics. $43 billion worth of Olympics have come to a close. Money the Chinese government fought for years to spend as they chased and lobbied to host the Olympic Games. Officials hoped to polish their image at home and around the world. Was it money well spent? Today, we're asking Forbes.com editor Paul Maidment, who joins me in the studio here. Good morning. Thanks for coming. And so $43 billion, what did the Chinese get for that?
Well, I think they probably got quite a lot. Whether they got value for money is a different matter, but they very much wanted to have a games that would pass without incidents, that would make China look very spectacular in the eyes of the world, and which would run like clockwork, and they certainly achieved all those things.
The actual games ran like clockwork, clearly a great success. There were no major security instances that we know of.
No, I mean, as far as we can tell, the only internal demonstrations were some violence way, way out in the west in Xinjiang by Uyghur minorities. There were some very minor protests, largely by foreigners in Beijing itself, but there were no major incidents, which is what the Chinese wanted.
Well, who was the target audience?
I think the target audience was really the Chinese people. I mean, one of the things I think it's important to realize about these games is that the leaders in Beijing need to justify the legitimacy of their rule. They're trying to pull off something that no industrializing nation has ever really done, which is to spread economic wealth and yet at the same time have the party hold, the ruling elite hold complete political power. But that's what they're trying to do. And they've got a lot of problems in China. They've got inflation problems, there's unemployment problems, there's the widening wealth disparity problems. Earlier this year, they had a very bad winter in the south and the west, the Sichuan earthquake. And of course, Chinese tradition is that natural disasters are bad omens for ruling dynasties. So it's very important, I think, for the party leadership to seem to be valid in the eyes of the people. And I think that was the primary goal of pulling off a successful Olympics.
And did they?
I think largely they did. I think that it's interesting that partly because there's such tight control of information inside China, that a lot of Chinese don't know as much about what is going out in the outside world. They don't know as much about the issues over, say, Tibet and issues over things like Darfur, which brings a lot of opium onto China. And it's interesting, Chinese people think that the rest of the survey show that the rest of the world thinks twice as well of them as the rest of the world actually does.
Which is the other part of this, which is how does the world look at China today, perhaps differently prior to the Olympics game or not at all?
Again, the Pew survey from which that international attitudes data was taken shows that the rest of the world, and Americans in particular, are now looking more favorably on China than they did earlier this year. The first survey was taken around the time of the demonstrations and riots in Lhasa. But I think that if you're looking at, did these games achieve the Olympic ideal of making China, you know, a better place, which is what Olympic Games are meant to do, is it politically more transparent? Probably not. Is it economically better off? Economy was doing pretty well as it is. Has it solved any environmental problems long term? Not really.
On the other hand, too, there is this 7 months of coverage that I'm sure the Chinese would have rather preferred not to have, which is, for example, the torch. Nearly every continent it went to, there were mass protests, not only about the way China has handled Tibet, but also about their involvement in Sudan, as you just mentioned.
Yes, and I think that was a great surprise to the Chinese, especially Chinese people, because they couldn't understand why people who, as they thought, loved China so much, would cause all this trouble. Those protests, though, have been going on anyway. And how much of that gets into the daily currency of Chinese conversation? The answer is not very much at all. So I think that the Chinese internally see themselves as more beloved than the rest of the world sees them. And these 7 months won't have changed that much.
That's so interesting. What do you think the long-term effects are, both inside China and as the world looks at China?
I think in terms of long-term effects of these games in particular, I don't think they'll actually be very great. I think, however, I mean, the long-term challenge for China is to pull off this trick, if Beijing can do it, of keeping this very tightly centralized political control and yet allowing economic decentralization. We've never had a nation where newly enriched groups have not been able to grab some political power. And you're seeing kernels of this now around single issue topics like the environment, around air issues, around water issues. The Communist Party obviously won't allow the establishment of a rival political party, but it's very concerned about keeping down these potential new political centers of gravity, which is one reason why they crack down on dissent at any particular instance.
Paul Maidment, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank
Paul Maidment is the editor at Forbes.com, sharing his thoughts on China and the $43 billion it spent on the Olympics.